longitudinal trends, I'll scream. And we only got through the math and science scores yesterday. Oh, joy. Today is going to be English and reading.
Well, at least that's your field.
Well, except everyone knows how to teach English better than the English teachers. I swear, if that French teacher Jacques Monet, and that can't be his real name, I mean, come on, Monet, trust me, based on how he dresses, he has no idea what colors go together. But if he tells me one more time how I should try approaching teaching English how he teaches French, I'm going to take a loaf of French bread and...
Now, Connie!
Well, I was going to say that I was going to shove it down his throat.
Well, that wasn't where I thought you were going to shove that bread.
That would work, too.
Hello? Mrs. Brooks, are you ready to go?
Come on in, Walter.
Good morning, Walter.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis, are you ready to head to school, Miss Brooks?
Yes, I am.
Connie!
Yes, I am, Walter, but you don't really have to drive me today. This is very nice of you and all, but school starts next week, and you must certainly have things you want to do before then.
Oh, Miss Brooks, it's no problem at all. I have to be at school anyway today. A bunch of us guys in the AV club are getting all the projectors ready to go. Mr. Conklin wants to make sure that all the light bulbs in them are working before classes start. He doesn't want to have happen what happened yesterday.
What was that?
He was in the middle of a big presentation to the teachers about the math and science scores, and just when he was about to present his analysis of the percentile split across demographic groups, cross-match longitudinal trends...
Oh, Connie!
What, Mrs. Davis?
I thought I heard you clearing your throat before you screamed.
Oh, you heard me all right.
Yes, Walter?
Well, the bulb burned out, and in fact, it burned out so bad it tripped the breaker. Now that was really strange. The lights in the whole part of the building went out.
Trust me, that was the highlight of my day.
Mr. Conklin wants us to check each projector to make sure they are working properly.
Well, at least the projectors will be working properly. I wish I could say the same about Principal Conklin. Let's go, Walter. Time to start the agony.
Hey, Miss Brooks.
Well, hi there, Stretch. What brings you to school before you have to be here?
Coach is having us put in extra practices before the start of the season. You know, the first game is next week.
Oh, yes, I'm quite aware of that. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah.
Yeah, I'm having to put in all kinds of time on the field.
Too bad you don't put in that kind of time on your classes.
I try to, Miss Brooks, but it's hard to fit it all in.
Oh, and football is such an important priority.
You bet it is, Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin himself spoke to the team yesterday and really told us how he wants us to have a winning season. He said it was important for Madison High to be known as a winning school. He really said that, Miss Brooks.
No, I believe you, Stretch. That sounds exactly like something he'd say.
He was showing us a chart with all kinds of percentages.
Percentiles?
Yeah, and something about demo...
Would that be percentiles split across demographic groups, cross-matched to longitudinal trends?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I swear my head is going to explode.
Yeah, me and the team...
The team and I.
Yeah, me and the team. We're learning all kinds of new plays so we can surprise the other schools.
You know, maybe I should put some grammar lessons in those playbooks. I bet I could have you all diagramming sentences in no time.
Huh?
Never mind, Stretch. Listen, I really need to get this lesson written on the board before the faculty meeting with Mr. Conklin.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes what, Miss Brooks?
See you next week, Stretch.
Bye, Miss Brooks. See you at the game.
Yeah, that's right. At the game. Certainly won't see you in class.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Good morning, Mr. Monette.
That's Monet.
Oh, Really? Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting.
You see, that is the problem with the American culture. No appreciation for things foreign.
Well, you know, maybe it's because we get tired of things snobby.
I just wanted to see if you would like to collaborate on teaching approaches between your English classes and my French classes.
Now that's something entirely new. A Frenchman who wants to collaborate.
I just think it would benefit the students of both of our classes if we work together on a comprehensive approach to teaching grammar. I will be honest, Miss Brooks, it makes my job very difficult when so many of my students start to learn French and they are so unaware of English grammar.
My. What do they do in France, Mr. Monette?
Monet. And what do you mean?
Well, I highly doubt that French children drop out of their mothers knowing the finer points of English grammar. Well, how in heaven's name do they learn to speak that contorted language without knowing English first?
And
speaking of being comprehensive, are you including in your lesson plans for French history?
But of course. Some. It is part of the cultural aspects of the language.
And you do include French military victories?
Yes, of course.
And just how far back do you have to go to get a French military victory? What exactly is the score between you and the Germans? 0-3?
Three?
Oh, I go back to the Franco-Prussian War of 1871, Mr. Monet. I could go back further, but I really don't have the time. I really need to get this lesson on the board. Adios, muchachos.
Well, I never.
Yes, that is right. You never.
You were sort of hard on him, weren't you, Miss Brooks?
Oh, Mr. Boynton, I had no idea you were standing outside my door.
I wasn't. I was in my classroom, down the hall.
Oh, my. Was I that loud?
I'm afraid so.
Well, that man just gets me so angry. He comes into my classroom and thinks he can tell me how to teach English. I mean, what does he know about English? He barely knows how to speak it.
Now, Miss Brooks.
Oh, well, I suppose I was a little hard on him. I mean, he is a foreigner, after all, and... Say, what was that you were saying about lunch?
At lunch? I don't remember saying anything about lunch.
Really? Funny, I could have sworn you asked me to lunch, Mr. Boynton. Or was I getting ahead of you asking me to lunch, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I really shouldn't take the time today with getting ready for Mr. Conklin's meeting later.
Oh, that.
Yeah, Mr. Conklin wants to start up where he left off. With the test score review.
Joy.
You know, we were just starting to hear his analysis of the
percentile
split across demographic groups,
cross-matched longitudinal trends.
How did you know?
A hunch.
Anyway, I need to get back to the report. Just wanted to stop in and say hi.
Oh, and I'll take that rain check.
Rain check?
Oh, on the lunch you offered me.
Good?
I swear, if I waited for every rain check I made him give to me, I'd starve. Now, I really do need to get back to this chalkboard. Now what?
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Oh, Mr. Conklin, good morning. So good to see you bright and early.
The joy is all mine, Miss Brooks. I just wanted to stop in and make sure that you and all the English teachers were ready to analyze in depth the results of the language portion of last spring's standardized tests.
Oh, we're ready, Mr. Conklin. We're ready. Ready for what? I have no idea. Maybe Harry Carey?
What was that, Miss Brooks?
Oh, nothing. Nothing, Mr. Conklin. Just talking to myself about how I might improve those test scores.
But you don't even know what the test scores are yet.
But there's always room for improvement, right, Mr. Conklin?
Yes.
And we will will be studying your analysis of the percentile split across demographic groups cross-matched to longitudinal trends.
Yes?
Like we did yesterday with the math scores before that unfortunate accident to the projector.
Yes?
Oh, you know, Mr. Conklin, I was so disappointed that we couldn't have finished that analysis yesterday. I mean, those math scores are just so important to the entire faculty.
Well, they are very important.
Oh, indeed. There is just so much to learn about that for the English teachers, and the foreign teachers, and the PE teachers, and the shop teachers, and the home ec teachers, and the history teachers.
You've made your point, Miss Brooks.
And the cafeteria workers, and the janitorial workers, and the secretarial staff.
All right, Miss Brooks, you've made your point. I just think it's important, since we are all in contact with all the students in so many ways, that all of us understand how all of our students are performing on all of our tests.
Yes, Mr. Conklin.
And you know, Miss Brooks, that projector problem is a mystery to me. You were sitting back near the projector, weren't you?
Yes.
You didn't notice anything peculiar about it, did you, Miss Brooks?
Why, no, Mr. Conklin. But then what would I, a lowly English teacher, know about projectors?
Yes. All the same, it certainly was odd how a simple burned-out bulb could black out a whole wing of high school!
Well, you know how those technical things can get out of hand. Oh, my.
Well, Miss Brooks, I must get back to my office to prepare for our meeting. I want to make sure I am thoroughly knowledgeable of those English scores.
Yes, Mr. Conklin. What should I do at this meeting? Should I sit next to Mr. Boynton and get nowhere again? Or sit next to that projector? Could I accidentally kick the cord again today?
And that was Our Miss Brooks, the first installment of our back-to-school show. Starring in Our Miss Brooks were Carolyn Rucker, Julie Burton, Alex Campia, Todd Ease, John Alexi, Cameron Spencer, and Gary Stamm. Directing was Gary Stamm. Mike Olstrup was our sound effects tech, and yours truly, Gary Stamm, was your announcer. And now it's time for another chapter in the life of Riverdale High School student Archie Andrews. We invite you now to join Archie and his pals, Jughead, Veronica, Betty, and all of their friends in another comic adventure from Riverdale. Our episode today, The First Day of School. Archie, wake up!
Hello? Who is it? Hello?
Archie! You're going to be late for school.
Oh, gee, Mom. Why didn't you wake me up? I'm going to be late for school, and today's the first day.
Archie Andrews, your alarm went off 10 minutes ago, and you just slept right through it.
I did? Jeez, and I thought I was talking to Veronica on the telephone. Oh, she has such a sexy voice. She always knows just what to say to me to get her way.
Well, young man, that wasn't the telephone ringing. That was your alarm clock. Now, you better get dressed quickly. Oh, don't forget to brush your teeth and comb your hair before you come down for breakfast.
Okay, Mother, but I may not have time for breakfast. I have to catch the school bus. Mom! Who is it? I'll be right down.
All right, Archie. I'll get the door. Well, good morning, Jughead. You're up awfully early this morning, aren't you?
Good morning, Mrs. Andrews. Yes, ma'am, it is early, but today is the first day of school, and I don't want to be late. Where's Archie?
Well, he's just finishing getting dressed, and he'll be...
Mom! Who was at the door?
Gee whiz, Arch. We're going to miss the first bell at school if you don't get a move on.
I'll be right down, Jug. I'm just getting my hair combed just right.
Yeah, I know. You want to look perfect for Veronica.
And Betty, too.
Okay, you two. Be off now. It's 8:05 already.
Okay, Mom. See you after school today. Unless I'm in detention and on the first day for being late.
I just love the first day of school here at Riverdale High. Seeing all my friends who were gone for the summer and also meeting all the new students they have transferred in from other schools.
That's our Betty. Betty Cooper. She lives right next door to Archie and has been a friend for many years. Betty is the daughter of Alice and Hal Cooper. Betty is a nice, smart, sweet, and funny girl with blonde hair. Her eyes are typically described as blue. The quintessential 17-year-old girl next door. Betty's middle-class upbringing is a world apart from the flashy lifestyle of her wealthy friend and rival, Veronica Lodge. Yes, Veronica Lodge.
I just can't wait to see my adorable Archiekin. He is such a sweet boy, always there to help me out when I need it. I do have to tell him, however, that my father is upset with him ever since Archie called me Poopsie Poo, thinking Archie was looking for a dog. Now, my whole neighborhood is making fun of me and calls, "Here, Poopsie Poo," every time they see me.
Veronica is the only child of Hiram Lodge, the richest man in Riverdale, and his wife, Hermione Lodge. She's a tall, slender, and attractive with long black hair. Veronica favors expensive, up-to-the-minute fashions. Betty and Veronica, two very different girls who share the same interest. Archie. In fact, Betty and Veronica just met up at Riverdale High School. Let's listen in.
Hi, Betty. I do hope you had a delightful summer. Sorry I couldn't call you after school was out in June, but my parents and I summered out on Cape Cod at a lovely little island cottage that my father got on the cheap a few years ago.
Oh, hi, Veronica. That's okay. I knew you were gone all summer. Several of our friends told me about your summer when they stopped in at Adam's Drugstore, where I worked the soda fountain.
That must have been a lot of fun, Betty, especially seeing everyone when they came in for a milkshake.
Oh, yes, Veronica, it was the cat's meow, especially when Archie would stop in once or twice a week with Jughead and Reggie.
Oh, Archie stopped in a lot?
Why, of course he did.
But he lives right next door to you, and you probably see him all the time.
Oh, well, I do see him a lot when he's outside. In fact, yesterday afternoon, he was mowing the grass.
It was so hot and humid yesterday. Didn't that bother him?
Oh, I don't think so. He was wearing shorts and wasn't wearing a shirt.
Oh, my. Really?
Oh, sure. And that's nothing new because, well, I brought him a big glass of freshly squeezed lemonade with plenty of ice.
I guess there are some advantages to living right next to adorable and sweaty. Sweet Archie.
Hi there, girls. Did I hear someone say my name?
Hello, Archie. It's so nice to see you. It looks like you got lots of sun over the summer. Your face is so tanned, and your hair is even more red than it was back in June.
I didn't think his hair could get any redder.
Hi, Jughead. Archie, I'm glad you made it to school before the second bell rang. Principal Weatherby would be awfully upset if you were late, especially on the first day.
I almost overslept this morning.
What happened, Archie?
I guess I didn't hear my alarm go off this morning. When I heard it, I thought it was the telephone ringing.
Gosh, Arch, you must have been either really fast asleep or you thought you were talking to someone and you got distracted.
Well, maybe just a little.
Archie Andrews, just who were you dreaming about?
I was just going to ask that same question to you, Archie. Who?
Well, it's all sort of a blur right now.
Well, Arch, knowing you, it had to be a girl but a girl.
Just who was it, Archie Andrews?
Phew! Saved by the bell.
Good morning, students. This is Principal Weatherby welcoming you to our first day of the new school year here at beautiful Riverdale High. As you know, this year we are changing how we test all of our fine students by using the new statewide achievement test. And what does that really mean to you?
Jughead, I'll tell you what that means. It just means more tests for all of us.
I hate those tests. Why do we have to take them?
Jughead, I don't mind them at all, especially when I always get such high scores.
Well, that's great for you, Veronica, but some of us aren't as smart as you.
Now, come on, Betty. Don't you just love this new dress I'm wearing for school today?
Well, Veronica, what does that have to do with taking tests?
Everything. My dear daddy told me that he would buy me this very expensive dress if I scored at the top of our junior class on the new state examinations that we will take in the spring.
Wow, that's very cool, Veronica, but what if you don't score the highest? And I thought that Dilton Doily always scored the highest.
Yeah, Jughead's right. What will you do, Veronica?
Well, Archie Kins, first of all, that's not going to happen. And just in case it might, Daddy will just decide that I still deserve this lovely and very expensive dress.
And finally, students, I am very pleased to announce that for our first school-wide sock hop dance, which will be next Friday night, our very special guest stars will be Kenny Vance and the Planetoads.
Erasmus Hall High School, we used to harmonize. Me and Victor and Abby and two neighborhood guys.
Oh, Archie Kins, I just love Kenny Vance in the Planetones. And Looking for an Echo is my favorite song of theirs.
You would look so beauteous on the dance floor. With me.
Oh, why, thank you, Archie. But you know that Reggie might be asking me to that dance, don't you?
Reggie Mantle? No, I didn't know that.
But, Archie, you know I'd love to go with you to our first sock hop of the year.
I know, Betty. You know me. I think being out in the sun so much this summer has made things even more confusing to me.
As Archie tries to figure out what to do, and more importantly, whom to ask to the first sock hop of the new school year, we find Riverdale High's true genius and everyday techno nerd, Dilton Doily. Let me tell you a little bit about Dilton. He is very studious, interested in all academic subjects, especially science, speaks seven languages, wears funny-looking glasses, and is shorter than his friends.
My glasses are not that funny looking, and I'm not really that short.
He also has an IQ of 198.
Yes, that's true. Werner Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is one of the most important results of 20th century physics. It relates to measurements of subatomic particles. Certain pairs of measurements, such as A, where a particle is, and B, where it is going, meaning its position and momentum, and therefore it cannot be precisely pinned down.
Dilton also uses his garage as a science laboratory. He's a skilled amateur inventor, but many of his creations did not work out as planned. His intelligence has won him numerous science awards, and his teachers
particularly Mr. Flutesnoot, are very proud of his wonderful achievements.
Archie and Jughead, you know that I'd love to go to the dance with Veronica, but I would never have the nerve to ask her.
I know that, Dilton, but wow! Look at all of your scientific experiments.
Why was he uncertain?
What?
Phil, why was that German guy not so sure?
Oh, you mean Heisenberg and his theory of uncertainty.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, historically, the uncertainty principle has been confused with a somewhat similar effect in physics called the observer effect. This says that measurements of some systems cannot be made without affecting the systems.
Wow! Can I actually see this happen? Like chairs being moved around and not knowing who's sitting in them?
Huh? However, it is now clear that the uncertainty principle is a property of all wave-like systems. It arrives in quantum mechanics simply due to the matter-wave nature of all quantum objects.
So, does that mean Veronica won't know where I am at any given time? And if I don't stand under a light, she can't see me?
Dilton, I just had a very weird thought.
No, what's that, Jug?
I remember reading in one of my mom's Reader's Digest about that.
Is that the regular print or the large print version?
Both. Anyway, I remember reading that since the electron is quite tiny, the photon must have a comparably tiny wavelength and thus a very great energy, since wavelength and energy are inversely related. So the photon will impart a random kick to the electron that will affect its momentum in an unknown way.
That's amazing, Jughead.
Why is that?
Archie, Jughead just described what Niels Bohr had to say about what Heisenberg was researching.
So, Dilty, let me see if I can put this into simple terms.
Put what?
Heisenberg's theory.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell us.
Here goes. You're in a car traveling at some speed. The car may or may not move in a straight line, and your speed may or may not be constant. While you can measure your speed or location, you can't know both at the same time. To measure your speed, your location must be changing. And to measure your location, your speed must be ignored or assumed rather than measured.
Archie, that is amazing. That is so simple that I'm certain that's what Heisenberg's uncertainty principle's all about. Fantastic!
Thanks, Dilty. Coming from you is quite a compliment.
Archie, where have you been?
Hey, Veronica, we were in the science lab with Dilton.
Oh, Dilton Doily? And I suppose he thinks he will get the highest score on the new state exam.
I don't know. We didn't talk about that. But we did talk about some German guy's uncertainty theories.
Oh, yeah. I know all about that. Heisenberg, Bohr, and others.
Wow, you know?
Even physicists show considerable uncertainty about the uncertainty principle, about what it really means. Dozens of different interpretations have been proposed over the years. As for me, Archiekin, I'd love to go to the sock hop with you.
You do? Really? Well, you see...
What is it, Archie Andrews?
Well, I already asked Betty, and since you said Reggie was going to ask you out...
Well, he didn't. He decided to ask Cheryl Blossom to the dance.
Sorry, Veronica, but my choice is Betty.
Are you certain about that?
Well, Veronica, as that German physicist would say, I am totally certain that I will be where Betty will be, at the same time and at the same place, and that is at our sock hop next Friday night.
Are you completely certain about that?
Yes, totally.
You've been listening to another episode of The New Adventures of Archie Andrews. Written by Steve Brown and Michael Ultra. Our stars today from the 91.1 Players were Cameron Spencer, Julie Burton,
Alex Campia, Todd Eaves, Teresa Myers, John Oleksy, and Carolyn Record. Directing was Steve Brown. Mike Olstrup was our sound effects director, and yours truly, Gary Stamm, was your announcer. And now, it's the professor.
Oh, good. It's the professor. Are you busy?
Oh, hi, Bernice. Well, no, not really. If I had something pressing to do, I wouldn't be sitting here in the clubhouse. I just thought I'd come here and go through some of my notes for my classes next week.
Well, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. I signed up for a couple classes this fall.
Good for you. What are you going to take?
I'm taking a sales course and then a computer course.
Sounds perfect for your job.
That's what I thought. I figured I should brush up on my sales skills. We have more and more people coming through to look at homes and condos here at Boca del Rio. And I thought some tips on how to close the sales could come in handy.
And these days with technology, you can never know too much there.
Tell me about it. Corporate's putting everything on what they call mobile platforms. It's all about smartphones and iPads these days.
Did I hear something about iPads?
Hi, Irving. Yeah, I'm taking a course about mobile platforms this fall. It's all about iPads and smartphones.
My grandson showed me all about iPads on my Kindle. I should teach you, Bernice.
Yeah, Irving, but you know those colleges, you have to get credit toward a degree. Yeah, and I want to finish up my degree one day, and I need those credits.
Ah, credits, schmerits. It's all about what you can do. Did you see Morty?
No, I haven't seen him come by.
Oh, okay. I'll keep you two company while I wait. Okay, I'll go look for Morty. Morty, maybe he's at the putting green.
See you later, Irving. So, Bernice, which school are you going to?
Central Coast Tech. Nothing fancy, but they have a lot of good courses.
Central Coast is a great school. A lot of my students started out there and then transferred to the university.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I went to college a long time ago, but never finished. You know, met the so-called love of my life, gave him the best years of my life, and then he leaves me. What a schmuck. But anyway, I always wanted to go back to school, so I figured, why not?
How could you have lost your glasses? You can't see your hand in front of your face without your glasses. And for some reason, you had them off. Now, did you leave them in here?
If I knew they were in here, they wouldn't be lost.
Just go over to the couches and chairs and start looking under the cushions. Hi, Leland. Bernice. Did you see Morty's glasses anywhere? He lost them. Again. I swear, he'd lose his head. Morty, look by the bar. You're always sitting at that bar with Irving. Why you need to drink so much, I don't know. But check the bar.
And she wonders why I drink so much.
Did you say something? What did you say?
Just talking to myself about coming back here with Irving.
Just find your glasses.
Say, Morty, you need some help?
Nah, that's okay, Professor. I see better than Estelle thinks. My glasses are around here someplace.
Oops, my phone. Hello?
Ma?
Hello?
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 Hello? Ma?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? What is it with
Ma,
these Bacacta things?
Is something wrong?
They never work right.
Ma!
Hello,
Ma.
Morty? Look
Hello?
At this thing. Why
Ma,
doesn't
what,
it ever work when I answer
on?
It?
Ma?
Here, give it to me. Who is it?
I think it's Adasa. I saw her picture on the phone when it started ringing. How that got there, I have no idea.
Just give the phone to me. Adasa!
Dad? Hello? I was calling Ma. Is she okay? Is something wrong? Why do you have a phone?
Nothing's wrong. Your mother just can't answer the phone right.
I know how to answer a phone. Just give it back to me. So, Adasa, what's wrong?
Nothing's wrong, Ma.
Why'd you call? Something must be wrong. You only call when something's wrong.
I do not.
I know, you don't call. That's why something must be wrong.
So, Ma, what's new down there?
Not too much. Your father lost his glasses again, and you know, he can't see a thing without them.
His eyes aren't that bad, Ma.
How would you know? You're never here to see for yourself.
Ma, I have a job, and Brianna has school.
That's right. School starts soon.
Yeah, next week already. Summer went by fast.
That's the one thing with retirement in Florida. You have no idea what season it is.
Yeah, I suppose. The nights here are already getting down in the 50s.
So, how's my granddaughter?
She's good. She was at basketball camp the last 2 weeks.
Camp? Did she go away for that?
No, it was just all-day practices at the middle school.
She's not overdoing it with all these sports, is she?
No, Ma, she's fine. She loves it.
Well, that's good. That the girls, they all get to do the sports thing. Not like when I was a girl. We were taught how to cook and that was it.
And you still can't get that right.
What did you say?
Nothing. Just talking to myself.
Just look for your glasses.
Bernice, are these night classes? Weekends?
Night classes. Weekends wouldn't work out for me here. That's prime open time, open house time around here. The college offers a whole schedule in the evening. I go 2 nights a week for 4 hours each, and I get done right after Thanksgiving.
I'm teaching an evening class, too, this semester. Lots of audits going back to school these days.
So, Professor, what are you teaching this fall?
The usual introduction to British lit classes, and then a class on Shakespearean sonnets, and a seminar on pre-Anglo-Saxon poetry.
Pre-Anglo-Saxon, huh?
Morty, I'm done talking to Hadassah. You want to talk to her?
Sure. Hadassah.
Hi, Dad.
How's your job going?
Great.
How's Brianna?
She's fine. She starts school next week.
Good. Your house okay?
Yeah, the house is in good shape. Just had the furnace checked out for the winter.
You have enough money?
Yes, Dad, I have enough money.
Okay, honey. I'll give you back to your mother. Here's Hadassah.
You know, Hadassah, you should change your name to Irving. Your father would talk your ear off.
Okay, Ma. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, honey. So, Bernice, when do you start your school?
In a couple weeks.
Maybe you'll find a nice man at school.
Yeah, maybe. But I just want to learn some new things and get some college credits.
Credits, schmedits. It's all about what you can do.
Where's Mona and Chutzi?
Yeah, I haven't heard, seen Chutzi in a few days.
They both went on one of those gambling cruises to the Bahamas. Vivian May went too.
Vivian May went with Chutzi?
I don't know. I just mind my own business.
You didn't go this time.
I was too tired. You find your glasses yet?
If I found my glasses, would I still be looking? I'm gonna make myself a drink. Professor, you want a drink?
It's too early for a drink. You don't need a drink.
I'll have a drink if I want a drink.
I'll pass, Morty.
Bernice?
No, I'm on the clock.
What about me?
You never want a drink.
Maybe at this time I would.
You want a drink?
No, it's too early.
I'm going to kill myself.
How are you going to find something to kill yourself with if you can't see? Yeah, I was too tired.
You could have rested on the cruise. They have those wonderful deck chairs.
I rest too much. That's all I do here. When I'm not looking for his glasses, I rest.
Maybe you should take a course at the tech school. They have all sorts of classes. You could learn Italian.
Why would I want to learn Italian?
I was just making a suggestion.
Oh?
A joke?
Mm-hmm. Estelle, there are all sorts of things you could study. What are you interested in? I see you reading all the time about the pool.
True, I do like my romance novels.
I'll bet they offer a contemporary American novel class. You could read your novels, talk to the whole class about them, and get college credit besides.
You know, that just might work out.
Morty, here you are.
I was looking for you. Say, did you see my glasses?
Yeah, they're on my kitchen table. You left them there last night.
Figures.
Say, Estelle, I'm going over to Irving's and get my glasses.
Aren't you going to finish your drink? I'll have one with you.
Okay.
Professor, you want a drink?
I'll pass, thanks.
Bernice?
No, thanks, working.
Estelle?
I'll have a vodka sour.
You're having a drink? You didn't want a drink when I asked you.
Now I want a drink.
I am going to kill myself.
Well, at least you'll have your glasses.
You're looking for someone, young man?
Yes, thanks. I was looking for Vivian May Desmarais.
She's on a cruise.
Oh, that's right. She told me she was going to the Bahamas. I forgot it was this week.
Say, you look familiar.
Dr. McMillan?
Yes.
I had you for that Shakespeare in the Corporation class a couple of years ago.
Well, that's right. Now I remember you.
That was a great class. King Lear comes in handy at work, let me tell you. Well, I'll take off. I'll leave a voice message for Vivian May. I was in the area, and I thought I'd surprise her. Bye.
You know him, Professor?
Well, just as his teacher. He took that one class with me in his senior year.
I wonder who he was.
Maybe it was one of Vivian May's grandsons. He'd be too young to be her son.
Unless she had a surprise later in life. She was married 3 times.
It's got to be a grandson.
Yeah?
You know who'll know?
Mona!
That was It's the Professor. Keep up with the gang at Boca del Rio, Phase 3, next time on the WGTD Radio Theater. The stars of It's the Professor were Siegfried Christoph, Susan Lean, John Oleksy, Cameron Spencer, Naomi Weissman, Zobler, Terry Myers, and Alex Campia. Mike Ulstrup directed, and special sound effects were also created by Mike Ulstrup. It's the Professor is written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrup. I'm your announcer, Gary Stamm. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, DeMay, Dunn, and McTernan, and the Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation. If you like old-time radio, then you'll love the WGTD Radio Classics Theater tonight at 9 o'clock on WGTD HD3. Hosts Mike Ulstrup and Steve Brown will be in our WGTD studios live tonight until 11 p.m. They'll be celebrating the August birthdays of Lucille Ball, Gene Kelly, Ray Bradbury, and Stan Freberg with some great old-time radio programs. Be sure to tune in tonight at 9 p.m. on WGTD HD3 and on the internet at WGTD.org. The 7-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players are once again holding open auditions on Saturday, September 7, 2013, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. in room 120 of the Bioscience Center on the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College. Your place for public radio, this is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Events marking the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington are underway, with tens of thousands of people converging on the nation's capital today. NPR's Allison Keyes is at the march, where Congressman John Lewis this past hour addressed the crowd.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis got a wild ovation from the crowd when he took the stage. He told him he stood here 50 years ago right in this spot. He's standing at a podium on the first set of stairs down from the Lincoln Memorial. He was 23 years old then. He joked that he had more hair and he was a few pounds lighter, that he could come back here to keep on in the fight for civil rights. He said that people here have to stand up. They cannot let the vote be taken away. People here have been very concerned about the Supreme Court ruling striking down part of the Voting Rights Act.
NPR's Allison Keyes. President Obama